This passage from the Gospel is about worship. And what is described for us is an example of worship in a synagogue in the time of Jesus. This was his hometown of Nazareth. It was Saturday morning, and presumably the majority of people of the town had gathered for worship. The synagogue is a long, narrow building with seating. The women sat on one side, the men sat on the other. At the end of the building, there was a tabernacle, a kind of closet or cupboard in which the scrolls were kept. And then in the middle of the building, there was a stand, a lectern, a speaking or reading stand. And that pretty much was the layout of the building. Jesus came to worship that morning. The worship began normally with a reading from the law, from one of the first five books of the Old Testament. And then there was the praying of a psalm. And then there was the praying of intercessions or petitions, 18 of them, the 18 benedictions, the Amidah. And then following that, there was a reading from the prophet. And that's where the story picks up, that Jesus stood up to do the reading, and he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and then he found the place in the scroll where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then we're told that he rolled up the scroll, and he handed it back to the assistant, and he sat down and he began to speak. For after the reading from the prophet was the time for the teaching, the explanation, or the sermon. Now that's almost precisely the manner in which we gather on Sunday morning. We come together to hear the Scriptures. We come together to pray the psalm. We come together to receive instruction. And then we offer prayers of petition. We offer a litany of petition. That's the first part of the Mass. It's almost a carbon copy of the synagogue service. And that's what's described for us in the Gospel reading. Now, when Jesus sits down, he begins to teach them. And we're not told much of what Jesus had to say. We're just told that the people admired what he had to say. But then, all of a sudden, the tone changes. And it becomes clear that they want Jesus to do something for them, just as they have heard that he did things for the people of Capernaum. Now, the city of Capernaum wasn't far from Nazareth, just about 20 miles. And so the events that occurred there would easily have been reported throughout the region. Jesus quotes them a proverb that was not a religious proverb, but was just a saying, "Physician, heal yourself." It's the image of a doctor heals everybody else, but a doctor doesn't take care of himself and his own family. It's also like the image of the shoemaker. Everybody in town has new and fixed shoes except the children of the shoemaker. Jesus says, quoting that proverb, "What you're asking is that I take care of you. that I'm part of you, I'm your neighbor, so do for us what you do for others. Jesus says, a prophet is never honored, is never accepted in his own country. And then he tells them about two Old Testament figures. Elijah and the woman from Sidon. He says, Elijah didn't serve the widows of Israel. Elijah was sent to a foreigner. And he was able to do something for her because she had faith. Now remember the story. There's a great famine across the land. And this widow is out gathering a few twigs because she wants to make a fire. And then she's going to bake something. And she has a little bit of water. And she and her son will have a last meal. And then they will probably starve because that's all that's left. Well, Elijah comes to her and says, bring me some water, I'm thirsty. Now, this is a famine and a drought. There is no water. Or what water there is incredibly precious and very small. And the woman says, I have nothing. My son and I have nothing. But she agrees to get him some water. And as she goes off to get the water, he calls after her and he says, by the way, I'm hungry. Why don't you bake something for me too? And she tells him that she only has a little bit of grain and a very little bit of oil in the jar. And that's all she has. And yet she agrees to bake something for him. And he promises her that because of her faith, because of her charity, her care for him, the grain would never go empty and the oil would never run dry. And we're told that that's exactly what happened, that the bin of grain never went empty and her oil jug never went dry, and so she had more than enough to bake for herself and for her son weeks and months later. But the message was about someone, a foreigner, who took the risk of loving his neighbor. And what Jesus is challenging the people of Nazareth about is simply that. He says, the worship of God isn't about you. The worship of God is about you going out and embracing the lives of your neighbors, meeting the needs of your neighbors, serving your neighbors. You've got it all mixed up. You think that I'm here and I'm one of you and therefore I should just, in a sense, work some miracles for you, for your satisfaction. Well, wake up. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God being proclaimed to all the world. And especially being proclaimed to those people who stand on the edge and the margin of life. That's what I'm about, Jesus says. Well, the people got very angry. They got up and they grabbed him and they dragged him out of town and they were going to throw him over the hill. You talk about full active conscious participation in liturgy. That's pretty active. And then we're told that Jesus passed through their midst and he went on his way. And one of the sad things about the story is that's the last time that the village of Nazareth will be mentioned in St. Luke's Gospel. that it wasn't Jesus who was thrown over the edge of the cliff, but it was the town of Nazareth that, if you will, fell off the edge of the earth. The tragedy was that those who knew him best didn't know him at all. They didn't know the depth with which he spoke. Well, the challenge that is put before us in liturgy is the challenge that Jesus put before his neighbors in the synagogue. That what we're doing here is not really for us. That the fruit of this Eucharist, the fruit of the celebration of the Eucharist, is meant for your and my reaching out to the world beyond this place. That what we do here in celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus is we buy into, we become one with that mission of proclaiming God's kingdom. And the proof of our worship, the proof of the goodness of our worship, is found in the deeds we do. Shortly after the election of Benedict, he talked about the Eucharist and he said that the proof for the validity of the Eucharist, that's a pretty powerful word in Catholic theology, for the validity, for making the Eucharist true, the proof that it really is the body and blood of Christ, is to be found in the works of justice and charity undertaken by those who gather to celebrate the Eucharist. That it's not about us. Ultimately, it's about the work of the kingdom. You and I are called, as were those people of Nazareth, to hear that message and to live out that message. We turn to the Lord God and we make our prayer in faith.
For all Christians, that they may be faithful to their prophetic task of pointing out to people of our time the saving truth of the gospel. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For prophets in the church and in the world, that they keep hope alive in the final victory of justice and truth, of God's life and love. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people without a voice who are deprived of rights, may they find Christians who have the courage to speak for them. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who work for a better world, that love may inspire them to unite rather than to polarize and divide. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For us gathered here at the Word and the Bread of the Lord, may we experience the gospel as a message meant for today, and the Eucharist as our bond of unity. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are sick, especially Joanne Blakesley and Vern Vasseur, let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.